In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus commissions his disciples with a worldwide missionary assignment. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Evangelism was the final instruction from Jesus to his followers. Today, generations later, the Great Commission remains the greatest calling of Christians to a lost world. Welcome to Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, presented by Galcom International. On today's Mission Compass, we invite you to engage with us in fulfilling the Great Commission as we talk with mission workers about what God is doing through them as they share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Mission Compass, presented by Galcom International. I'm Ron Harris. You know, Galcom is a unique evangelistic ministry that uses the latest in audio broadcast technology to take the gospel message to millions of people around the world who are illiterate and difficult to reach. Using Christian radio as a primary tool, Galcom has impacted unreached people in more than 150 countries around the world. And we have you, our faithful listeners and donors, to thank for that. Well, let's begin. We have a special guest today I know you'll be blessed to hear about. Our Mission Compass program host is Tim Whitehead.
Well, thank you, Ron. You'll never guess what I did a couple weeks ago. I was at a conference with real live people, shaking hands and everything. It was wonderful. And as we do at a lot of these mission conferences, when there's a lull and there's, the attendees are at sessions, all of us missionaries with our booths around the room all start chatting with one another. And one of the sessions there was going on and there's no one in the room. And so a gentleman walks over to me across the room there from his booth with the big banners up that said Tear Fund. And he came over to look at all my little solar radios and find out, what's this Galcom? And I said, what's this Tear Fund? And we got talking, and as we, a lot of missionaries do, we've been talking about what's been going on the last couple of years without being able to travel with COVID and all that stuff. And I started sharing about all of our work on First Nations territories. And he said, well, let me tell you what we're doing on First Nations territories. And I was so enthralled and impressed by it. I thought, I got to get someone from Tear Fund to tell everybody else what they're doing. And so I quickly reached out, and their executive director, CEO Wayne Johnson, is with us here today on the Mission Compass. Wayne, thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. It's been exciting to see your work across Africa, where I have experienced the Galcom work and seen and listened to your radio stations.
Wow.
You beautiful Cameroon. Yes.
What do you know? You know what? We actually just got a request for another radio station in Cameroon. Interesting you should say that. So before we start talking about First Nations here in Canada, North America, tell us about Tear Fund, because you are a global presence.
So Tear Fund stands for the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund, and became the relief and development arm of the Evangelical Church with expressions in over 20 countries. 10 of them on the global south side, 10 of them here in the west. And both in the United States and Canada, we have a Tear Fund USA and a Tear Fund Canada. Our key role and heart is to share the love of God in a wonderful, practical way through the local church. And so it's working with the church to work through the church, led by the church, so that it's sustainable in the long road across Africa, Asia, and here in North America.
Well, that makes sense. I've been doing a lot of reading on your website, and I noticed a whole list of denominations. And I thought, well, that's unusual for all these denominations to get along so well. So there it is. There's our link. It's all of the denominations that don't have our own missionary sending agencies. You've come alongside to get those churches linked with churches, as you said, Global South, that you're working through. So tell us about the churches you're working through then in Africa, Latin America, et cetera.
So Sierra Leone, we work for the Evangelical Fellowship of Sierra Leone, which is over 40 denominations and 400 churches across the nation. In India, we work with EFICOR, the Evangelical Fellowship of India Commission on Relief, which has over 5,000 trained volunteers who are all pastors in local churches on how to have disaster response and readiness in times of troubles like the flooding right now. In Ethiopia, it's working with the Kalahewit Church, only 11,500 congregations that have grown since 1926, since SIM missionaries planted that work there. or in Tanzania, it's with the Anglican Diocese of Central Tanganyika. They still call it that, even though it's Tanzania, to work alongside them. We work through the relief and development arm of the local church.
We love partnership at Galcom because when you work through the local believers, you've got a contextualized gospel, you've got culturally sensitive, you've got the language barriers gone. That's just so strategic and so responsible and such great stewardship. So how do you make these connections? How do you maintain these connections?
Well, wonderfully, you know, we've been around for a long time, but 30 years ago, our board made a decision that we would work with partners over a long term to build their capacity, but it's all built on relationships. It's not a contractual, we're going to do this and you go and develop, you help the poor in this area or food assistance, food development, so on. What we do is have long-term relationships with them and the church so that there's long-term sustainable development. Because in the long term, us in the West, we're going to leave. We're not going to help it. We want to build their sustainability. So that means a longer-term relationship.
There's a book that we often give to our short-term team members when we're going out to distribute our radios. It's called When Helping Hurts.
Yes. Brian Fickert.
Yes. So there's this problem where we come in, we want to help, we genuinely want to help, and we trip all over ourselves doing it wrong. What's your philosophy then of helping, not hurting? What's the kind of the key essence of your philosophy on eliminating poverty?
Well, you know, the expert on every community is the locals. Mm-hmm. So we go to the local pastors and community leaders. What are the key issues facing your people? Whether it's Ethiopia or Tanzania or Kenya, recently we're finding number one is food security. They don't have enough food. It's drought issues. It's changing climate issues. It's the issues of just not having enough food. And they deal with a lean season of 5 to 7 months where they go to two meals a day, then one meal a day, and then sometimes no meals a day. And then they have to sell assets, goats, cows, even the roofing material in their houses. And they say, food security is number one. Number two, we have no economic empowerment. We don't have the funds to go and deal with something. So then what we do is co-design with them what would work. And it typically starts with conservation agriculture, growing something in their community with limited water and teaching them a new way of agriculture on how to adapt to a changing climate. But it really comes down to they own the project. And then we're asking them through our tier funds, church-based community transformation or CCT programming, is what resources do they already have? See, they don't need to look at us. If you look at 2 Kings chapter 4, when the woman and her kids are going to be sold into slavery, what does she do? She goes to Elisha, help me. And Elisha, he doesn't give her a handout. What Elisha does is says, what do you already have? Mm-hmm. Oh, I got a little bit of oil. And then goes on this wonderful miracle of God. But the interesting thing is the whole community gets involved to solve the problem.
Also, what a great model. What a great biblical model to replicate that. What do you have? Let's get everybody involved. And then I guess Tier Fund's kind of the Elisha. Let's then superpower this. Let's put the power of God, the power of the church behind it.
And when you have the pastor and the church as the catalyst for change in a community, and they ensure that the local community, including Muslims, nothings, people in African traditional religion, when they are engaged, then the whole community gets engaged. And who's the hero? It's the pastor.
Right.
Who's the hero? It's the church. Because we believe that they're going to be here until Jesus come back.
Yeah. On your website, the statistic, 10% of the global population live on less than $1.90 a day. Can we really solve this problem? That's daunting.
Jesus says, hey, you're poor, you'll always have with you. But at the same time, that doesn't stop our responsibility of responding to those who are least, those who are struggling. That is the biblical mandate for you and me. God says, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength, and love your neighbor. Doesn't say how many, it just says love them. And so our job is to help them in any way, shape, and form that we can, because everybody on this planet was created equal, male, female, race, gender, color. It doesn't matter. We are created equal in the sight of God. Sometimes some people just haven't had the opportunity for a whole bunch of reasons. And our job as Christians is to respond with the love of Christ.
Amen. We had a kind of a, just a lunchroom conversation here at Galcom one day. I'd taken a training years ago by an organization, and it was based around shared resources. And the comment that the leader of the training was said at the end of the day, there's enough resources in the world to meet all the needs, to feed everybody. But as you said, there's opportunity issues. We have been abundantly blessed here in the West, just geographically, resource-wise, and we need to respond in love. We want to talk, though, a little bit about here at home. Change that focus from Africa. We talk a lot about missions. Everyone thinks missions is over there. But no, missions is right here too. Other statistics on your website here. 3.4 million people in Canada live below the poverty line. In the U.S., 37 million people below the poverty line in the U.S. There's poverty issues here. We want to talk about how the Tier Fund is meeting those needs. But first, we're going to take a look at God's Word. Our friends from Guidelines International are going to hop in here and share. And we're going to be right back with our CEO of Tier Fund Canada, Wayne Johnson. So don't go away.
Could you come up with 1,000 things to be thankful for? Anne Voskamp suggests you try it. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. 1.5 million people bought Voskamp's book called 1,000 Gifts. The book challenges you to get a notebook and begin recording all the small but daily gifts in your life. I kept at it until my list topped 1,000, and the exercise had a huge effect on the eyesight of my soul. When you're really on the hunt for God's blessings in your life, you begin to see them everywhere. Rain-sweetened air, pineapple, a long hug from my son, the silly family pet, or my neighbor's purple vine. After I developed the eyesight to see them, the first thing I learned is that God's gifts to me are many, and they're continuously given. I also learned that His gifts are present even in the midst of trying circumstances. Be thankful in all circumstances, Scripture says, and that little word in is the game changer. The hard, painful times are as much of the journey as the joy and the blessings. I can thank Him in my circumstances. Thanksgiving in all things accepts the deep mystery of God through everything, Voskamp writes in her blog. We give thanks to God, not because of how we feel, but because of who He is. No amount of regret changes the past. No amount of anxiety changes the future. But any amount of gratitude changes the present. In stressful times, seek God. In painful times, praise God. In the terrible times, trust God. And at all times, thank God. I'm Bonnie Sala with Reset. To hear this again, read or share this, or to find more resources like this, visit guidelines.org.
This is Ron Harris with Galcom International. At Galcom, our goal is to help fulfill the Great Commission by multiplying missionary impact through audio technology. Since 1989, Galcom International has distributed over 1 million solar-powered radios in 140 countries worldwide. You can help our global mission. Find out more at galcom.org. That's galcom.org.
Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you for sharing from God's Word. We're continuing our conversation with Wayne Johnson, the CEO, Executive Director of Tier Fund Canada here on the Mission Compass. I'm your host, Tim Whitehead. And I need to mention, we're recording this. Obviously, this is not a live show. We're recording this on June 21st, which just last year, our government proclaimed as National Indigenous Persons Day. And although you can't see it on your radio, on our Zoom screen here, Wayne is wearing his orange shirt, his Every Child Matters shirt. We'll have to take a picture of it here and send it. And ooh, very nice mug too. This is theater of the mind. I'm going to try to describe. It's kind of the classic native artwork. It looks like a couple of killer whales or dolphins there swimming in a circle. So our focus now, we're turning from global south to right here at home. We've had a lot of issues here in Canada, I know in the U.S. too, with what we did over the last century with residential schools, oppression of our First Nations people. And we really need to do a job reaching out in love and partnership. We've been trying to do that at Galcom, partnering with the Native Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, putting in radio stations on First Nations territories. But as I mentioned off the top, Tier Fund is doing something absolutely incredible to reach out on our First Nations territories. Wayne, tell us about the buffalo.
Well, a little context. In 1491, Columbus got lost. He got lost. He was trying to find India and ended up coming over here to what the First Nations people of this land called Turtle Island or North America. At that time, there was 20 million indigenous people from the Mexican border north up to the Arctic, including the Caribbean. But the problem was they followed something called the Doctrine of Discovery. The Doctrine of Discovery was issued by the Pope. The idea being is if you come to a land where people are not Christ followers or Christians, they are pagans, and we can discover their land and take it from them. And under that whole realm of the Doctrine of Discovery, the West, Europe, colonized Africa, North America, South America, Asia, and they said, we're the boss, we're taking it over, and you're in the way. And so the history of Turtle Island is one of genocide. Why do I say genocide? From 20 million people, by the time it came to the year 1900, there was 234,000 Aboriginal or Indigenous or First Nations people on Turtle Island. That's 99% genocide, 1% left. But one of the things that happened in 1800, the Plains, let's use the term Indians, the Plains Indians that would go from basically the Mississippi to the top of the Rockies, from the Mexican border up to the Arctic, they lived off the buffalo. And there was somewhere around 50 million buffalo roaming the land. They used the buffalo for not only their food and sustenance, but for their clothing, their shelter, and they followed after these herds of buffalo. And it was a government policy of the United States, we want to get rid of the Indian so we can take their land. But one of the key means of doing that is get rid of the buffalo, and we lose their means of living and sustenance. And we can drive them onto reserves, or in worst case, drive them up into Canada and let Canada put them on reserves. And the First Nations people were set up into forced into boarding schools in the United States and residential schools in Canada. And for the last seven generations have been indoctrinated, tried to be wiped out in many ways, and their culture, language, everything about them was taken away. Sadly, a lot of that came to identity. I've been involved with Youth with a Mission for the last 35 years, and about 35 years ago, a small group of Samoan missionaries came to Canada with this dream and this vision from God that they were to come to the Red Warriors of the North. And somehow Nancy and I were led to work with them, come alongside them, and we've been traveling and journeying for the last 35 years in that. A small group of them that I became really close to moved to Belcarris, Saskatchewan, in the middle of the plains about 10 years ago. And as I was sitting with the leader, I said, how are you doing? His wife was a lady from Papikas's First Nation. And I said, how are you guys doing? And he said, the children love us. They love our laughter, our fun. The youth love us. The women love us because they care for our children. But the men, they're acquaintances. And I said, well, what are you going to do about it? And he said, well, they love our dance, our protocol, our ceremony, our cooking food underground. But what they have lost is their identity, and I don't know how to get it back. And I said, well, do you have any dreams? And he said, Wayne, I want to give away a herd of buffalo. And I said, a herd of buffalo? You must be crazy. And he says, no, I want to give a herd of buffalo away. I said, so what does that look like? He said, well, I think the Papikas's people, they had the buffalo wiped out over 150 years ago. They haven't had one on their land in a century and a half. I want to give the buffalo back. I think I can get land, and I think I can get them to put up the fence. We just need to get the buffalo. I said, great. Well, where are we going to get the buffalo? He says, that's your problem. I said, why my problem? He says, well, you're a fundraiser, and you know people. He said, I can get the land. I'll get the fence. You get the buffalo. And so it started a journey, and one of our wonderful donors in the Bible translation area, it turned out one day I was at his farm and bang, there he's got buffalo on his land. Mm. And it started with the donation of 20 females and two bulls. And the idea was, as the herd grows over a 5-year period to 100 animals, that 20 females and 2 bulls would get moved to a second reserve. And so it started at Papikasis First Nation. 5 years later, they gave 22 animals over to Zagame First Nation. And then we just planted another one just recently on Cody First Nation. This time, 23 females and 2 bulls. And the idea has been that as the calves grow, you start to cull off after 3 or 4 years the males. You keep all the females as a breeding herd, and you cull off the males. And so on the Papikasis First Nation, every single one of the 4,000 people on the res have all tasted buffalo meat, their own buffalo meat. Yes. They use it at powwow. They give it as Christmas celebration hampers. They give it 40 pounds at every time a family member dies in a funeral or wake, so that they have something to celebrate. But the nice thing is, it's brought back identity. It's brought, we are people of the buffalo. We are people of the land. The sad thing was, at the start of this, we've had almost 250,000 buffalo that have resurged across North America, but most of them are on settler, that's us white guys, okay, farms. And there was less than 10 years ago, less than 5,000 on First Nations land across all of Turtle Island. My friends at Lokokoa, these Samoan guys, the YWAM workers, their dream is to have a buffalo herd on every one of the 34 reserves in Treaty 4 land, which is southern Saskatchewan, a little bit of Manitoba, in the next 25 years. And so far we've got 3. Our goal's all 34.
And you mentioned identity. The thing though is, we all need to know our identity that God gave us through Jesus Christ. So how do you then use this contextualized outreach to reach them with the gospel?
One of the problems that we Christians get into is we get into a proclamation mindset. It's all about proclamation. But when the proclamation of Jesus Christ and the running of the boarding schools and residential schools was all in the hands of the church, and the proclamation of Jesus Christ is Jesus saves you and we will rape you, or we will cause all the other problems, yeah, there's something seriously wrong.
Yeah.
You can't do it by proclamation only. You have to show it and demonstrate it majority by love, by acceptance, by coming alongside. We have to do a Good Samaritan model. And so the interesting thing is that at Papikasis, where there was just less than 100, I'm going to call them Christians, all of a sudden the whole of the nation knows that it's a group of settlers and Samoan missionaries who are all Jesus followers who have made this happen. And when we chose Cody First Nation, the wonderful thing is all of the people know that Chief George Cody, who is a wonderful born-again Christian, it was friends who are Christians who opened the door for them to re-understand and accept their identity, period, and then come from Creator. See, we don't talk about Jesus because Jesus is a swear word on the rest.
Yeah.
We talk about Creator and Creator's Son who hung upon a tree.
Yeah. It's the same model you're doing in the Global South. You're working through the local church. You're working through the contextualized need there. It's showing the love. It's absolutely a wonderful strategic way of doing it. I wish we had another 10 minutes to keep talking about this. But friends, I want to encourage you to get involved and learn more about Tier Fund. So Wayne, really quickly, for our friends on both sides of the border of Turtle Island, how do they get in touch with Tier Fund? How do they give and get involved?
So my suggestion is you go to tierfund.ca/Cody Project. You learn all about bringing back the buffalo. And we're already raising funds now for our next herd of buffalo. In the United States, look at tierfundusa.org.
tierfundusa.org, tierfund.ca. Get involved, whether you're helping over in the Global South or here on Turtle Island. Wayne, just love this idea of contextualized gospel message. And as you said, it's not about proclamation at the expense of everything else. We're loving first the Good Samaritan model, that Elisha model coming alongside. Love what you're doing, friends. I can't endorse Tier Fund enough. Tierfund.ca, tierfundusa.org. Wayne, we're going to have you back on the next time you get another herd of buffalo out on one of our First Nations territories.
Great, Tim. You take care and God bless you at Galcom.
Well, friends, we're at the end of our program today. You've been listening to Mission Compass, your guide to the Great Commission, presented by Galcom International. You know, there are many ways you can partner with us at Galcom in reaching the lost for Christ. You can pray for us. You can volunteer. You can join us on a mission trip. You can help us financially to build more solar-powered radios and audio Bibles and deliver them to people in remote villages around the world. You could even sponsor an entire village with its own Christian radio station. Ask God how He would want you to partner with us. It's easy to reach us. Our website is galcom.org. That's Galcom, spelled GALCOM.org. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. I'm Ron Harris. Thanks for joining us today on Mission Compass, a radio ministry of Galcom International.